I'm Wem.
And I'm Lewis.
This is the Forest School Podcast.
Let's go!
Now you can wish me a happy solstice.
Now I can, because I forgot.
Because it counts. It counts when it's performed socially.
It counts now because I forgot that. Sorry, I'm just rootling.
Why? You tried to start the podcast and then I was like, wait.
Yeah.
And now you've decided to fiddle.
I needed pens and stones. I needed pens and stones because otherwise I can't do anything. I've got them now. Yes, happy solstice to you.
Have you
drummed the sun up today?
I didn't drum the sun up today, but I'll tell you what I did do was I was looking it up the other day because I Googled why is the sun. I Googled because I can never remember the date.
Yeah.
So I'm not good at dates.
I think it's
so Googling when the
21st, 22nd, you know, it's all chill.
Yeah. But when you Googled it, it gave me a time and it said 3:37.
But
and I
how?
Was very confused.
Why? What is that? And tell me.
So I was like, 3:37, that's a weird time. But I get up at about 4 o'clock to go to the gym. So I was like, oh, okay. Why 3:37? Because I'm always confused about, is the solstice the day of the shortest day? Or is it the evening of the short... When's the... Because the shortest evening is the... Anyway. So I looked it up. 3:37 is astrologically... the point in time where the Earth is furthest from the sun. So that is the shortest of the angle of the wonk of the thing. Not counting like day-night cycle. That is when we are like the furthest from the sun.
Okay, that's very interesting and answers a lot of questions for me. Thank you. I did drum the sun up, so don't worry. I was there by myself in the garden and the crows were all like blowing around in the sky because it's very windy. And I was just having a lovely little time. And then my other half opened the window with a very confused face, looked out in the garden, was like, huh? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. He said he woke up going, what the heck is that noise? Is it the heating? What's gone wrong? Anyway. But I was thinking about, it's weird the contradiction between like celebrating the return of the light and being like, oh, okay, like, you know, especially in times gone by. But also, at this exact same point, it is the start of astronomical, I always get astronomy and astrology mixed up, astronomical winter, like as of today, and it gets colder. Like we always talk about. So like in one way you're going, yay, the light is returning. But you're also like, okay, right. You know, strap in because we're half of us are going to be dead soon. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know whether it's a celebration or a like, get ready. Both.
Brace.
Bit of both. Brace. Yeah. If you're lucky one day, I'll sing you that song, that medieval song about death. You know, Myriad is when it'll come back to me. When the birds sing and stuff, but in the winter we sorrow and mourn and starve. It's the oldest secular song in the English language.
Huh.
And you know who taught that to me?
About...
Do you know who taught that to me? One of our home ed kids about 5 years ago. He was just casually singing it, and I was like, "Excuse me, what are you singing in old English there?" He was like, Myriad is. I was like, okay, he's like, look it up on Spotify. And I did. It's absolute banger. Absolute banger. Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry, what are we talking about?
Well, no, we are talking about Yule. But this leads on to a thing. I was saying to my wife yesterday that you know, like little scripts that you learn through your life and you realize you either tell the same anecdote over and over again or you're in the same social situation.
Yep.
And you develop these little scripts that you're like, that's my go-to thing. And sometimes it's like, that's my go-to joke. That's my go-to thing. So I have one for the stuff that comes up around me and my family and particularly the kids being vegan. It comes up with someone the other day was being very accommodating with one of my kids at a sports club that they go to and was like, oh, we're doing some party games. We're going to do that thing where you have to put the gloves on, put the hat on, cut the chocolate bar with a knife and fork, and they were like, don't worry, we've got we've got a separate plate for them. Mm-hmm. So we've got separate chocolate, obviously. Mm-hmm. We've got a separate plate. And I was like, oh, that's great. Thank you so much. And I was like, but just so you know, we're like ethically vegan, not allergy vegan. It won't kill him if it mixes on a plate. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not that thing. And the phrasing, we're ethically vegan, not allergy vegan, is one that I can use in lots of different situations. Mm. And I would like a phrase, because I think I've nailed down, and it's almost a comparative one, where I want to say that I am pagan by nature, not by spirituality.
Oh.
Because I don't think the spirituality thing means as much to me as people might think it does, mm-hmm. because I talk about the solstice and the equinoxes, mm-hmm. and the Celtic festivals through the year and those sorts of things, but I only care about them because I work outside and it's marking the year in a way that actually means something to me, mm-hmm. not in a like, I don't think spirits come back, I don't think that like ground is pregnant, I don't think those things.
I do.
It is just but that's what I mean. I'm not but for me, it's like hey, I need you to know that I'm observing the solstice just from a like factual my work life will change going forwards.
I completely what you mean. And I think I completely know what you mean. Mine is getting like more spiritual as I get older, and I think it starts mm-hmm. from a place of nature connection, and that's like my way into the solstice and things like that. So it's just literally about like observing change in the natural world, but then I can't help but then imbue it with a spiritual meaning. Like the more I think about it, I think the more it sits with me, the more it's sort of like a felt thing rather than an intellectual thing. And that's what I think the spiritual element of it is, rather than like believing in something because I think I should. It's like a felt spirituality. And I think when we were new to Forest School, and I remember the two of us talking a lot about, you know, the kind of Forest School principles, and it will say the spiritual mm-hmm. element, and then talks about being holistic. And I think you and I spoke about being a little bit perplexed by that, and a little bit like, what does that actually mean? Like, does that mean like having some kind of religious element if you are religious, or does that mean having time to be able to express gratitude or whatever? And and I think it can mean all of those things, but like a felt sense of belonging in nature, I think, can also be included in spirituality. I don't know. Oh, that was quite deep, wasn't it?
That was quite deep. Did you get the list? Because I don't know if you looked at my Yuletide prep.
No.
I managed to pull out all 29 of the episodes that we have done this year. So this is episode 30 of the year.
That's cool. I also can see, like, I'm just looking at the transcripts of the episodes on Spotify as well. So I'm kind of reminding myself of what we were talking about, because, you know, when you look at the title of something and you're like, oh yeah, I know, I remember that one. And some of them I'm like, that's hard to remember. But it's quite good. it's quite good to look at the notes.
No, why? What have you found?
Okay, so are we going to start in January and talk about a bit
sure.
little episodes?
Oh, are you looking through the notes we made?
No, I'm looking at the transcripts. Oh. I'm looking at the transcripts on Spotify, which you can do. Okay, here's a little snapshot of the joy that is the January episode of Do We Parent Like Leaders or Lead Like Parents? At 3:59, one of us says, it's very loud whirring. Of all the notes, Peri Peri Peri, Peri Glory, eat the biscuits. So you don't make me watch the film as you suggested, but I watch the spoilers. I mean, I think that's us talking about Everything Everywhere All at Once. But why it says Peri 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 Glory, eat the biscuits, I have no idea. I mean,
well, I can tell you that I have just updated on our website, if you go on childrenoftheforest.com with all hyphens in between, I've just updated a load of merch stuff. So you can now buy Wet Rope logos on t-shirts and stickers and mugs and the Nut Amnesia. But I think I might put Peri 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 Eat the Biscuits.
Eat the Biscuits Glory. Yeah.
Eat the Biscuits Glory.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the new merch that's coming to celebrate you.
Oh my gosh.
It seems a long time ago to that parent like leaders, lead like parents. I feel like we had that conversation years ago. Looking through this list, we have hit some big ones this year.
What stands out to you as a really big one?
Well, in the middle of the year, we did the do you have to help cook or can you just eat it?
Oh my God, that was huge.
Just to give that the space was... Yeah. And it still comes up now. It's not like a thing... And I think
do you want to just summarize that for listeners who might not have heard that?
Yeah, it was one where we were talking about that thing that comes up, at least in our groups, where we're like, hey, we're going to make cake, brownies, pancakes, whatever else. And almost without fail, we'd get the question of, do we have to help cook or can we just come back and eat them at the end? Mm. And we spent like an hour and a half just digging into that, like, well, is it a gift? Well, how do we feel about this? Well, who gets to decide? And we did it with the group and it just was like, and then after that we did, should you say sorry, social conditioning versus socialization.
Oh my God, that was huge. And I remember us, and I feel like we need to come back to that topic because I remember we, oh no, that was the moral compass one. Was that also this year or was that last year?
The moral compass isn't on my list, so I think that was
that must
last
have been the previous year. I remember social conditioning versus socialization being one where you're like, okay, we haven't said, although it needs to be explored yet. Let's come back to that for sure. And it even came up in a conversation with my other half this week. Yeah, we were debating exactly that, you know, talking about our kids. And I think it's because it's the time of year, isn't it? It's about like gifting and, you know, observing whether your kids say like thank you to when people that they maybe don't know very well give them a gift or a card or whatever, and you're like, oh,
it's a time of manners and niceness and expectations.
Yes,
a time of socialized and then also we talked, so at the beginning of the year in the spring we talked about doing nature connections separately from socializing. That thing of sit spots and, you know, how do they work and can you do it together or on your own? There's some massive, massive ones in here.
Yeah.
We talked, and as well, just going through people that have been on the podcast this year. So we had Kat from Kat's Little Geeks.
Yes. Who talked about board games.
Board games. We had Isla McLeod talking about ceremonies. Ali Mason came and talked to us about the Autistic Guide to Adventure. Mm. We had Leah Lindertz talking about all her almanacs.
Yeah.
We had the guys from Elves and Fairies Woodland Nursery. Mm-hmm. We did Heather Schumacher. I know that was last week, but like, well, not last week. It was, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And all the people that are at the conference episodes and like, just amazing.
Yeah.
And I was looking the other day and it was saying that 2/3 of the people who are listening to this regularly now have found us in the last year.
Mm, so that's interesting, isn't it?
So thank you, people that have found us this year.
Naomi Fisher, of course. Guests. That was epic.
Oh, mate. Yeah. And the big one, which was... Well, I think it was a big one. I need more than my fair share. All the resources.
Yes.
We must have had a very difficult thing because in the middle of the year we said, should you let kids break equipment? And then we had, I need more than my fair share.
Yeah.
And then we had, the concrete has failed. How would we design outdoor schools? So we had a real wobble in the middle of the year.
But we did some healing by talking about it, which is... how you address these things. You feel this way and then you go, right, okay, let's unpick it and chat about it. Yeah. If you were looking at those, apart from, you know, I said about the social conditioning versus socialization, if you could kind of jump back and revisit any of those themes or any of those guests this year, sort of, you know, a year on with a bit more perspective, which would you go for?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I've just realised as well, we had Laura Kirby on from the Educators PDA.
Yeah,
Who would I go back? Do I have the knowledge that I have now, or is it like go back and experience it?
No, it's like revisiting it next year. Like if you were going to pencil in a little like, oh, I think we didn't quite say all we needed to say, we wanted to say there, or I'd love to get a guest on to talk about that topic as well.
I think... people that have listened to our episode with Heather Schumacher will know that I was slightly giddy about that one. So would be lovely to chat with her. But I think we had the most left that both of us were like, oh, we needed to talk more with Naomi Fisher. I think we both just had so much, just that conversation was so juicy, and it was just getting into so many lovely little tangents. And I would love to chat with her again. What about you?
I would love to have, because we do some like practitioner focused ones, don't we? We actually didn't do that many of those last year. So I think I'd like to do more of those, but I'd like to really get into some of this like nitty gritty of the like ethosy stuff. So I would love to have a little kind of round table-y style one with different practitioners and go back to the stuff about resources, because I feel like that, you know, that should we let kids break equipment in the name of play, what's my fair share and stuff. I feel like we got quite a few messages and comments from other practitioners all over the place in response to those going, yes, this is really like pushing my buttons and I don't know what to do about it necessarily, or this moment happened that really chimed with me, and I'd love to kind of just have like a little chat about it with people who have been there. So like kind of looking at your facilitating play, because it's a mixture of facilitating play, being aware of like finances and resources, fairness, social learning, all of these kind of like, it's a mixture of practical and sort of ethical and moral stuff, and it is something that is not often talked about. So I think giving some airtime to that and letting practitioners sit around and go, here's how I dealt with it, or here's how my group decided that they were going to use the clay in an equal way, or here, do you know what I mean? I think people would have interesting little stories or ways of approaching it. And it would be quite healing to talk about the Sharpies being destroyed in the mud, because that is like...
I think it would spiral. I think you would either spiral a conversation up and out of it in terms of like, we found this and we're going... Or the spiral would just go the other way and go... I go, yeah, and I hate it when they do that. Yeah, and if you ever have that shit, yeah,
I bought a brand new pack of thin-tipped Sharpies and they all got stabbed into the mud in the mud kitchen.
Maybe it's a two-part episode, and the first part is like a Catholic confession.
Yeah.
So it's all anonymized voices. We'll get people on. We'll put voice changers over the recording. So it just goes like... I was found that they took my clay and I really wanted to run away.
And it reminded me of my childhood and when a grown-up told me I had to stop being so greedy and la la la, and it triggered me. And then
the second half is like, all of that is like released, and the second half is like, okay.
Yeah, maybe we need a professional like counsellor and therapist to attend that first session as well, just to be there
the
and
session,
hold the
not
space.
Just in general.
Yeah, just for that round table.
You were telling me about a group that you were looking to join, and it was like a, I don't want to say exactly what it was, but it was like a steering group, like a, not exactly trustees, but something like that. And you said you were reading it and it was like, the CV list was like, passionate about issues, yes, can speak their mind about things, yes. And then one of them was like, can, I can't remember what the last one was, it was like, can be objective around the organization's like controversial issues. I'm like, nope, put the whole thing in the bin, can't hold this.
Yes you know, well, it's good to know yourself, isn't it? It's good to know yourself and be honest.
Look, we know
situations.
A lot of people that could hold space if we really felt like, and I think that would be a good one.
It would be great. We could get Mel. We could get Mel Harrison to set us up with some social, sociocratic circles, and then, you know, try and find possible solutions to these problems.
Or maybe this is it. Maybe people, maybe if they're, you know, there's forest school conferences, there's forest school symposiums.
Mm.
If people want to like be like, send us an email or send us a message on social media or something, be like, I would want to be part of that resources yeah. round table.
Yeah,
and then
man.
We can start to put together some like people that's like, oh yeah, let's do that. The anonymizing bit might be harder in person. We could put bags over our heads.
Or you can get those little voice changer things, those little gimmicky things, can't you? Like stocking fillers, voice sure. changey things.
Sure.
Oh my God.
Nailed it. So it's a very serious academic discussion about yeah. the morals of resources play, but we are all wearing voice changing Shrek masks.
Yes.
To anonymize ourselves.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Perfect.
Yes. Yes.
Nailed that one.
Absolutely. I would like this year, please, also, I'm really sorry. I think every so often, if we're talking about podcast topics, I go, I go like the Colorado paper or some other like really nerdy, deep thing about play. So I would like to do an episode about that this year, please. I've got like a whole, it's usually on my desk here so I could show you, but I've usually got like a stack of like really niche play related books, usually quite old, and I would love to geek out about that if you don't mind. So if but you need to give me some time, because as you said, I pulled out one of them, didn't I? The Ambiguity of Play.
It was joyful, but it was like
you were like, I mean, you've read one more page of that, have you? Well done.
But do you know what it is? And there was, well, I can't remember what the book is, and it wasn't this year. I think it was last year. We had a book and we were like, this is like absolute treacle, this book. But we were like, both like, it is really useful. And I can't
delicious
remember what
treacle.
The book was now. It was like, yeah, delicious treacle. But I think your playbooks are a little bit like that. They're so treacly.
Yeah.
But they do need some time and space, and maybe, you know, we can give them that over this year. That'd I think good. We might as well need to... This in coming year, I would like to include in the podcast a bit more stuff that is not necessarily directly linked. I hope people listening would be okay with that. But like you and I have both read or been reading the Matrescence book, which is not forest school linked, but it is having an impact on both of us and people in our sessions.
Yep.
And so I think we might need to come up with some sort of jingle or like tangent corner where we're like, this is not to do with your practice or whatever, but let us tell you this thing.
Yeah, or maybe, so listeners, if you haven't read it, like read it. Run, don't walk, listeners, to the Audible app to listen to Lucy Jones reading her Matrescence book, because it's flipping brilliant. And we did manage to speak with her for about 25 seconds at the conference 2 years ago or 3 years ago, one of them, because she was a speaker, and I still remember her conference speech. It was so lovely. And I'd like to read her other book, Losing Eden. I haven't read that yet. So maybe we should do a bit of that.
Oh, definitely. Okay. That's enough of a trip down memory lane, I think, and looking towards the future. I'm going to slightly pause. Can I pause this recording? Okay, we're playing, for me, slightly hypothetical. I don't know where you are on your dietary requirements, but I'm going to say Celebrations Tin, top tier, Maltesers.
Yeah.
Easily. Then Galaxy Caramel.
Oh, yeah.
Then Snickers.
Yeah.
Mars Twix. Milky Way and Bounty are at the bottom, but they're not at the bottom because I don't like them. I do quite like Bounties. They're just not as good as the others.
Ooh.
And I think there's also something about like the Galaxy Caramel and the Maltesers. I know that they are high ticket items, so you've got to prioritize them because everyone else prioritizes them.
Oh yeah, so get those in. Yeah. See, this is interesting to me, because when you told me to like Google the list of celebrations, I was like, what kind of metaphorical wizardry is he going to do? Oh, we're just literally
talking. Oh, I just wanted to talk about the best chocolate. Yeah.
I thought you were going to be like, so if the podcast was, is this like
the podcast is the tin, and chocolates are the ideas, and what we do,
which episode would this is my market research.
And then we put the empty wrappers back in the box like scumbags.
No, we regurgitate the contents into the ears of listeners like a parent bird feeding its young. That's kind of like my market research days when I used to like phone people and say things like, can I ask you a few questions about Green Giant Sweet Corn? Okay, yes. If Green Giant Sweet Corn was a friend, would you describe them as trustworthy, loyal, energetic or fun? And people be like, sorry, what? Like, I can't explain the questions, I'm afraid. You just have to answer.
Sorry, now you've done it as a metaphor. I need to share with you a thing. I was talking to someone the other day and saying that this is relevant to reflecting on the podcast, that because we have talked to a lot of people and a lot of authors now, when we do the level 3 training and stuff, I sometimes hear myself going, oh yes, well, we had a conversation when
name
we talked
droppy.
To it. Right. And I'm going to show you on a piece of paper, because I was talking to someone about it, and they went, oh, you're basically this person of Forest School.
Oh yeah.
And I have never been more upset with a comparison. Just because
are you not allowed to say that out loud?
I don't want more people to know that that's the comparison.
Well, I don't actually really know who that is. I kind of do. They're
okay,
on Radio
that's good,
4.
Then.
But what kind of thing do they do?
They're just very name-droppy. They're just very... They go around to lots of places and, oh, I did this, and oh, I did... Oh, when I was with the Maharaja, when I was doing this. But I don't want people to know that name, because I feel like people will then latch onto that idea. Yeah, and I don't want it to happen. So,
well, do you know what I might start doing then? Because when I was at drama school, we worked with this amazing because he was just such a character director, who used to say, yes, this bit in the play reminds me of when I had lunch with Princess Margaret. And I, so whenever he got to a name drop, he would just shout it like 5 times as loud as the rest of his talking. And if you were kind of like a little bit bored and snoozing off about the, you know, during his stories of the past and nostalgia, he would wake you up with the Princess Margaret. And it was, it was a joy. So I might start doing that. Like when we spoke with Naomi Fisher, she said that la 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 la. Bounty are clearly the best, and anyone who says differently is a
the
weirdo.
The best is a strong call. I'm not denying that they are good. I'm not one of these people that's like, put them in the bin. But the best is a big swing.
The best is that. Twixes are the shittest, because they're just so dry. Yeah. Dusty. Yeah. Dusty and dry.
Yeah. Did they used to be Twixes? I don't feel like I remember having Twixes in the celebration box. But now I've looked it up.
I get confused with Heroes as well. What's in here? Heroes are better. Heroes are way better.
Oh, Heroes are pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Heroes.
Go on then. What's tappy, in tappy, Heroes?
Tap. Heroes is Dairy Milk, Caramel,
Strong.
Twirl, Whisper, Strong. Eclair, Dinky Decker, no thank you, Crunchy, Fudge, and Cream Egg Twisted.
Sorry, what was the thing in the middle?
Dinky Decker.
Dinky Decker?
Like a double decker.
That's the
best
one.
Oh no. That made me reminisce of when I used to work at the chip shop, and I used to get a like 10-minute dinner break, and I used to have a double decker for my dinner.
Yeah, that's the memory shop. I have, getting a double decker from a vending machine when I worked in a factory, and being like, this is 60p, but it is so like full of crud that it will keep me full until I need to go home. The worst one is clearly, and I don't think I've ever had this, whatever that cream egg one is.
Twisted. Cream egg twisted. I quite like those. But eclair, only if you've got time to clean your teeth out afterwards, which is rare.
There's less variety in a box of Heroes. And I know this is why people have tuned in, is for chocolate chat. But Heroes is like, I think maybe because it's, I know the other one is all Mars, but the Cadbury's chocolate is all so similar on all of these.
But it's so good. It's so good. Roses.
What do you think, they should have in what bar needs to go in one of these little tins that doesn't?
Topic.
Hazelnuts. This is a bit, you're coming out with some big swings.
Lion Bar.
Oh, Lion Bar.
Like, do they even make these anymore?
A little toffee crisp.
Ooh.
You're going to ask for a little picnic. Toffee crisp. Picnics are in there. Picnics are in something.
No.
They are.
I don't reckon you could make a mini one because haven't they got raisins and peanuts in there? And like a raisin.
You can definitely.
Like,
I've had
size.
Mini picnics. I've had
You'd
mini
have to chop
before.
Up raisins with a mini little knife.
Maybe this is a generational thing. I remember getting a mini picnic from a like end of school term in like year five, and it was like take one, and I got a picnic, and I remember being like, this is shit, it's got a fucking nut in it. It's mostly nut. Oh, it's taking up all the volume.
Not happy.
Not happy. Not happy, Lewis. Yeah.
I saw a little thread on the internet about regifting, and one person said that they were given decanter and wine glasses for their wedding, and they were like, we don't even drink wine. This is rubbish. And so then when it was their boss's wedding, they just wrapped up the wine decanter and glasses and gave it to the boss for their wedding. And then they, a few months later, met the person who originally gave them the decanter, and they were like, oh, do you use the decanter? And they were like, oh, of course, every day. And they were, oh, how did the engraving hold up? Is it still there, or has it like faded away? And they were like, oh my God, we've given the boss like something engraved with our names and the date of our wedding on it. But also there was a thing about somebody's mother in a care home being given some nuts, and the care home staff saying, oh, she actually gave us the nuts because she was having real trouble with her teeth, like eating the nuts. And so the staff ate them, and thanks, that was really lovely. And they were like, oh, that's strange. Yeah, she usually really likes chocolate covered nuts. And the staff were like, chocolate covered? They weren't chocolate covered. And they'd
eaten
them all.
That's so
they'd
bad.
Yeah.
Why would you not question a bag of slightly damp nuts? Oh my god. Okay, well, you're coming to my house later. Your family's coming to my house. If you offer me a bag of wet nuts, I shall not be accepting them.
You'll be suspicious.
Amazing. Okay, mate.
Okay,
I'll see you in a bit.
Bye. 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 Happy Christmas.